and enjoy the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray, along with Bud Dickman, General Galen Shaw, who will be talking today about...
I'm going to be talking about the San Diego...
Who is talking, Phil, about...
About what?
About the Chinese...
Yeah, about the Chinaman.
The Chinaman. That's going to be, I think that's going to be Tom Catton.
Oh, yes, we'll have Tom Catton on to talk about why the men at the Grauman's, or what used to be Grauman's Chinese, dressed in Chinese hat. I don't know.
Hey, just Bud Dickman. What a little.
You know, Margaret, every time that you...
Don't say it, Phil. I'm doing the very best I can.
Every time you announce this show, you carve it up.
Margaret, you do. It's like just...
I am unaware of the fact that when we start announcing the program, when the program starts, excuse me,
God damn!
Hold on. When we start, what are you looking at?
Would rather you not belch, but...
When we start this program, I am given to understand that all of what you have lined up is suitable and understanded by me.
Yeah?
Forget it.
What is she trying to say?
I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm saying that every time we start this program, there's something that throws a monkey wrench into it.
Well, you can't really say that.
Can't say what?
Monkey wrench.
Why not?
It could be seen as racist.
Man, you're the dumbest ass. Get out of here, will you? Why is it we can't get the...
Because a lot of the stuff that you throw in to the program at the beginning begins to befuddle and bewilder and just... It blows it. It blows my perception of this program.
Like what?
Like the fact that you're having this captain on.
Well, I admit that it's some kind of a Hollywood thing.
Phil, don't make a bigger deal out of it than you have to.
All right. Well, in any event, we got Tom Catton later on. And he's going to be talking about, boy, the way you did it.
The way I did what?
Margaret, you're talking about these guys that were dressed up as China...
Don't say Chinaman, okay?
Did I say Chinaman?
I did.
Yeah, well, don't do it. Like Chinese guys at the Grauman's or the Man's or whatever the hell it's called now, Chinese theater.
Yes, that's right. And apparently he wants to talk about how they didn't hire Chinese people.
Yeah, that's great.
What? You don't seem to be impressed with that.
I'm not really impressed with it. I could, you know, but it's a nice little report and it'll kill some good time. All right, welcome to the program, folks. The Phil Henry Show.
Jeez.
Hey, you know.
Hey, Ms. Graham, you think you can do better?
Yes, I do think I could do better.
You could do better talking about the Chinese theater.
No, I just think I could do better than him sitting. Catton is a health food freak. The guy grinds up wheatgrass.
All right. Anyway, Tom Catton is going to be here to talk about the, whatever, man. Who cares? Who booked that guy?
I don't know, man. Somebody booked him.
Well, somebody booked that Fruit Loop to come in here and talk about the fact that those cats that they hired as Chinese guys at the Chinese theater back in the days when they had the Chinese theater, which I guess they still have a Chinese theater. Jesus. Oh, man.
See what I'm talking about?
No, I don't see what you're talking about. This is a much, much easier thing to do.
Easier thing do. You know.
An easier thing to do than the way you guys are laying it on me right now, because I'm telling you, what he's basically gonna say is they didn't hire any Chinese guys. I don't give a shit. Here is Bob Bacon with traffic.
All right, Phil, got to team out, Bob. Hey, listen, if you know Mahare, and there was a guy over there who was wearing a whore hat. Have you ever seen one of those things, a parted hat, and parked it up on the top of a thing, and a tree is up there? I'll tell you something right now. We're going to swing by and see if we can see the hat brand, see if there's a hat band on the man over there with a crap pan, on the crap pan, and also the crap can of the crap pants. Bob Bacon, traffic. This is Harvey Wireman with the news break here on the world-famous, there's a hot one,
world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, okay, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Prison worker reportedly admits smuggling power to escaped killer. Harvey Wireman reporting. Apparently this prison worker has admitted to investigator that Sahay provided vital... What is this word here?
Assistance.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
That is, the word is assistance, yes.
Assistance to two convicted killer who escaped a maximum... Oh, jeez. That's a tough word.
It's security.
Okay. Security prison in Upstate, New York, last weekend, according to a published report.
Okay, Harvey, thanks a lot.
Well, I'm not even done with the goddamn season.
All right, folks, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you very much, Harvey Wehrman, with us here. And
let's get him back on the phone. Harvey.
What is the story? You get me on here.
Hey, Harvey, I can't keep putting you on here when your granddaughter is giving you the wrong glasses and is, you know, all of that stuff. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah, well, no, I know what you mean, but she's giving me the... Hey, come here for a minute, honey. Come here for a minute. Grandpa wants to talk to you. Mr. Hendry is on the phone right now, and he said that you're... carving out a new one, you know.
I don't
know. All right, well, tell Mr. Hendry.
She said your head's made of doo-doo.
Okay, how do you feel about that?
How does she feel about that?
How do you feel about that? Her grandfather giving her the phone.
All right, look at honey, get it. Just get out of here. Go on, go talk to Mommy. Get the hell out of here. Quit bothering me. What's the problem, Phil?
Either you start to read this stuff right or I can't keep doing this.
I can't. The kid's giving me the wrong glasses. You know,
get the right glasses to you.
Hey, look, Dickman, why don't you get over here and get me the right glasses, okay? I gotta rely on a 3-year-old kid.
Well, where are the adults in that house?
Everybody's asleep, okay?
24/7, huh?
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, 24/7, every time, at least when you're calling, they're asleep. Yesterday was in the morning, tonight it's tonight. The day before is the afternoon. They all seem to be either asleep or they're out of the building. I don't know.
What do you mean the building? You mean the house?
Yeah, the house they live in, the building. So as far as I'm...
All right, Harvey, listen, great job, nice try, thanks a lot.
Oh, nice try. You know something?
All right, so there's Harvey Wehrman.
Well, I don't know. It seems like a good idea.
It's not a good idea as long as that cat is butchering it 6 ways to sunset. I'm telling you right now, I can't have it. I won't have it. And in the words of the general... I won't have it, I tell you. I think that's...
That's the technical way of putting it.
All right. Thank you very much, Harvey Wehrman. We're going to bring on now Herb Sewell. Herb is, as you know, is now in a halfway house. He was incarcerated at Atascadero, which is a maximum security forensic hospital here in California. We don't have to keep going into why he was there. Let's just say he was nuts. And
That's very accurate, Phil.
Thank you. Herb, I wanted to get you on the phone here because we're going to talk a little bit here about these guys that have escaped there from Dannemora. This is going on for, this is going to be a week now that they've been gone, which is longer than anybody in the history, at least, of this prison. And I think this is longer than anybody in the history of New York State prisons for quite some time.
That is my understanding, yes. I was given to understand that these two men, and one has to admire, you know, the whole thing is you have to admire, and I understand that there are people that are not 100% behind prisoners escaping. I dare say that no one is 100% behind prisoners escaping. But let's just be very clear. This is a monumental event.
I'd like to interrupt you for a minute, Herb. Where are you?
I'm in the backyard of the halfway house I live in. It's we're here in, I can't tell you the town.
Well, I'd say it sounds very peaceful.
Yes, it is very peaceful. There's a tree and there's a bird. And I mean, this is where they're letting me use the phone out here. So I'm sitting here. I need to calm myself down because of some of the nitwits that I'm obviously living with here.
All right, so you're still with some other guys from the prison, right?
Well, yes, as long as I'm in the halfway house, yeah. And I am at present not at liberty to move around. I have to sit here in a halfway house. Why are these questions about the halfway house? I'm already bummed out enough.
Just want to find out.
Yes, we just wanted to find out what it was like and where you are when are you scheduled to be released from this sort of living arrangement?
Well, at that present time, my understanding is here another 6 months. So I have appropriately done my probationary period, and then I'll be able to move on.
All right, so let's get back here to these two guys that left the prison, that escaped from the prison. It's very interesting, Herb, when I talk with you about some of these events, you always seem to, you always get around to the fact that you admire guys like this.
Well, I do it to a, people have to understand something. I do to a point.
What the hell does that mean, you do to a point? You admire guys that escape prison?
Well, yes, up to a point. You have to understand, being locked up, incarcerated for God knows how many years, to be locked away under lock and key, to not have freedom of movement, to be told, no, you can't go there. Well, the first thing you think of is that, the first thing you think of is you're going to go, you're not going to tell me what to do. I tell you how it is. And that's the way it is with a great many, I would say, pathological, psychopathological, dare I say, psychotic, prisoners. And so it was with me.
Miss Wyman, did you ever think that you wanted to escape?
Well, yes, of course I thought I wanted to escape. And there were times that I even began a rudimentary plan of escape. And I can tell you this now. And I did relate this to the authorities there at Tascadero. I told him, if I ever really wanted to escape from this shit, excuse my French.
Go ahead.
I apologize.
Just be very, very careful with the language.
I do apologize. But I did say to them, quite frankly, if I ever did want to escape from this shit can that you call a prison, and one of the things that made me want to escape more than anything else was the vision of one of these football players. I think it was this Bronkowski, this nitwit that was dancing and doing the boogaloo and the funky chicken too. And as I think back, no, it wasn't Gronkowski. Who was this? Bronkowski.
Bronkowski, this was the most recent Super Bowl. What are you talking about? You mean back when you were in jail?
Yes, back when I was there. There was another football player. I forget who it was. But I swear to Almighty God that I wanted to break free, find him, and do things to him that that I couldn't even imagine in my wildest fantasies of doing until I actually had him there locked in a room and I had saw blades and...
Okay, all right, fine. Now you're getting into your criminal instincts.
No. I'm not going down that road. I'm just saying... if you take me back to those days, I wouldn't really want to do that, you see?
What? Say that again?
I said, I wouldn't really do it.
Look at Hasul, when you start laughing, you start sounding like the gibbering imbecile that you really are.
Sorry, what I'm saying is, if I can keep from laughing, I wouldn't really want to do that, you know.
All right, don't even tell me the name of this. This was a football player that danced.
Yes, a football player that danced like that Bronkowski. The same sort of obnoxious jitterbugging and the knocking of the knees together, the shaking of the ass, and the acting like an ass. Or put it all together, what have you got? Herb Sewell needs to kill. And, you know, but fortunately, I didn't have to witness that for much longer.
All right, we're talking with Herb Sewell. Herb is a former inmate of a maximum security forensic hospital prison here in California. And he's talking with us about what it's like to be incarcerated and wanting to escape. Herb, I know you said that you plotted escapes and you never carried them out. I want to ask you, did you know of anybody else that plotted escapes and carried, or wanted to, or did carry them out?
Well, there was, of course, the very famous one.
What about that Belhaven?
Yes, the very famous Walter Belhaven. Walter Belhaven was able to escape, and within, I would say, probably more than an hour and a half, had carved up, and I mean cleavered and carved and packaged and shipped, 3 or 4 victims. I'm not entirely sure.
What are you talking about?
I've talked about this before, Dickman. Don't act shocked about this.
Well, this is Walter Belhaven, who is this guy's a mad killer who, well, he's never going to get out.
No, he'll never get out. Well, he did get out. He escaped. He did escape. And in the process, of course, was able to locate some of the individuals that he had a score to settle. And I would say that he did settle the score. You know, I would say if you're going to take 3 human beings and basically package them and make them ready to be sold in a meat counter in a major supermarket, you know, things like that.
What the hell do you find so funny?
Well, I'm just saying that that's what Jesus.
I agree with the general. It's not that funny, the things that you're describing.
Well, fuck, I mean...
All right, let's watch the language.
No, I'm watching my language, but I didn't know that these two candy asses...
What do you mean, candy ass?
My understanding was I'd be on the program and have a couple of laughs with Phil, who I usually have laughs with. I didn't know that he had you two wet rags laying around.
All right, all right. Let's forget about whether anybody's laughing or finding or appreciating your sense of humor. We're here with Herb Sewell talking about the escape, and we really need to get into that, the escape of these guys from the prison there in upstate New York in Dannemora. Now, they say, Herb, that these men gained the confidence of a woman that was working there, either in one of the shops that they were in. They say that they gained the confidence of this woman to the extent that she was going to pick them up, drive them out of the area, might have even provided them with power tools. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I don't think it's very difficult, Phil, to gain the affections of a lonely... I mean, I don't mean to laugh, but the idea that... disgusts me and makes me want to be ill all over the front of my shirt and pants when I think of a sow working in the prison, you know, in the prison laundry.
She didn't work in the prison laundry. She worked in one of the shops, and she was working with the men and helping them learn how to sew things.
Oh, I'll bet she was working with the men.
Well, what are you saying?
I'm saying that there's no question that this sow... made herself available to the highest bidder, if you know what I mean. And they...
All right, so you're coming right out and saying what a lot of people have not said, that she had a relationship with one of these guys.
Oh, there's no question. What do you mean that no one's come out and said?
No one has yet come out and said she had a personal relationship or even an intimate relationship with anyone of either one of these two men.
Well, I'm sorry that no one's done it, because if they haven't, they should, because I don't think there's any question based upon my experience. Let me tell you this much, Phil. I was in Atascadero for 8 years. I never tried to escape, although there were times I thought about it, but even when I was not thinking about escaping or trying to escape, there was no problem in gaining the affections of some lonely, dirty old sow. And I say that with all due respect.
Don't say about all due respect talking about a lady like that.
Well, Robert, Mr. Leonard, sir, you know...
Don't be racist.
I'm not going to be racist, but the man invites me to be racist.
What are you talking about?
Well, every time he opens his mouth...
I'm just telling you, don't call a lady a sow.
Every time...
Look at Herb, keep it to yourself, okay? Your attitude's about race.
Oh, my God, I spent time in prison...
Oh, what, are you going to start to cry now?
Yes, I'm going to start to... I spend time in prison, and I don't even get to speak my mind.
You don't get to speak your mind when it has to do with hate. You already were in prison for some pretty despicable crimes, my friend. And as you know, I've got no use for your ass. However, Mr. Henry thinks you're okay on the show.
No use for my ass, huh? Well, I feel very rejected.
You're a... Oh, baby, what I wouldn't give.
What you wouldn't give to what? Have my ass at...
Let me tell you something, Sewell. You name the time and the place. I'll see you there.
For what?
Three guesses.
Well, one of them would be sex. The other...
All right, you know something, Henry? Either you hang up on this piece of meat right now, or I'll find him, and you better believe I'll give him a real ride. I'll give this guy the... God damn it.
General.
What?
All right, generals, just sit down.
Jesus. Oh, I hate it so.
Now, you see something, Shaw? Let me tell you. I'm able to get under your skin.
No, you don't get under, but I'll get under your skin. Let me tell you what, you want to see a lampshade made out of something? How about your skin?
Oh, my God. So you're going down that route.
Okay, listen, guys, shut it off right now. Get back to the point. You were saying, Herb, before you rudely interrupted everybody.
How can I interrupt? How can I interrupt people?
Oh, don't cry, Herb.
Oh, don't cry. I was saying...
Let's just wrap it up, okay?
Look, I can talk to these squirrels, and they'll make more sense than any one of you dicklick fucking...
He's gone?
Yeah.
What a... All right, Phil Henry Show will be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is... Forget about what our number is. Our number isn't anything. Our
legendary
number
is... status in fact.
Yeah, that's your number right here.
Be able to say you're
legendary. I just scratched it off.
I write with the left.
Phil Henry Show.
Hold the mic with as I fight to the death to my last breath.
I'm sorry I had to hang up on you.
Well, apparently you didn't, because there you are.
In the end, but I ain't going to be the only one with the advantage of knowing what...
World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. If you go to our website, you can get a backstage pass, which enables you Judy here. Close to 20,000 hours of some of the most revolutionary radio in the history of man on this planet. We've got many generations of the Phil Henry Show, audio as well as video. An all-access pass gets you all access. If you have the audio-only pass, you'll be able to hear all of the audio from our site, including our pre-shows. There are 30-minute pre-shows or thereabouts before every show, and it's generally me in a very, very unrestrained mood talking about all kinds of things, like I did today about that whoever the hell that was on that TV show with Gretchen Carlson, that bald-headed jackball who was talking about, oh, man.
All right, take it easy. In any event, get a backstage pass today.
Hold on, man. Hold on. Phil Henry Show back here with Herb Sewell, who we got back on the line. And you hang up again, Herb.
I understand. I'm sorry.
All right, let's bring on Chris Norton, because really what we're talking about here is two sides of the same coin. Chris Norton joining us now from Redondo Beach, California. Chris, we're talking about the woman that was the woman that helped these two guys escape from prison. Can you give us some read on how, because Chris, you're obviously a guy who's been on our program before, talking about the single man experience, the fact that you have a great deal of experience with women.
Well, you know, can I just jump in here?
Go ahead.
Chris. Wait, my name is Chris Norton. It's not Herb Sewell, and I'm not trying to jump in to the middle of your, you know, everything you expect.
No, I'm just saying, what are you, have you ever been in prison?
No, I've not been in prison.
Then why are you on the air?
Well, let me...
No, if you don't mind, Phil, like that, why are you on the air?
I'm on the air because I know the psychology of women, I know what to expect, I know how, what excites them, I know what their expectation is. And if you have two guys that escape, are going to try and escape from a maximum security prison... they have all kinds of security, and you're going to try to escape. I'll tell you, you need to have some help. And in the case of these two, they had the help of a woman who, and obviously she was sexually frustrated and was sexually under-satisfied. And I would think that would be right up my alley.
That's right up your alley, what, sexual frustration?
No, I didn't say that. God, man, what a...
I'm trying to find out, Phil, what is up this guy's alley.
All right, hold on. Let me just talk to you two guys. Not General.
Don't you dare call General. This guy, Sewell, is a nutcase who belongs in a bag.
I have not called you any names. Phil, the reason why I'm on the program is because I want to tell you what it takes to interest a woman so she will help you escape. Okay?
She'll help you what?
Escape.
Yes, all right,
Okay, let me ask you, Herb. You, first of all, said that to gain the affections of a woman, you said, is not difficult.
Not inside prison, no. And I dare say there are a great many women that work inside the correctional facilities of the United States of America that are very, very frustrated and are in need of male companionship.
If I could just jump in, Mr. Henry, I would say that there are a lot of women who are frustrated, who need the sensuality, and they're working inside prison. They see a dude who is inside for murder or some very heinous crime, but they also see the sex energy. Because the energy that a criminal has who has committed these kind of crimes is very sensual. No question about it.
Yes, thank you very much. Am I...
Go ahead.
I would just simply add to what Chris has said, that when I was there at Atascadero, I was able to attract the affections and the attentions of some dirty old lonely sow.
Could we not refer to women that way, please?
Margaret.
Could we not refer to women that way, please?
I am telling you that in my loneliness and in my frustration and in my incarceration... This woman who taunted me and laughed at me and would walk by and say, ha, 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 there's Herb Sewell locked up like an animal, locked up like a filthy animal. When it finally came time for me to turn on the charm, I had to work overtime to get the attentions of this dirty...
Well, I mean, I don't doubt it's probably nasty. Is that you say?
It's what?
I don't doubt it's probably nasty. I mean, I...
Nasty?
nasty is what I'm saying.
Nasty.
Oh, yeah, well, that's just no question. Yes, no question. All is nasty or nasty. But I can tell you that it was well worth it, because while I was not trying to escape, I was able to,
I was able to get some perks, you know.
What are you talking? Every time you laugh, Sewell, you sound like an unhinged idiot.
An unhinged idiot. Do you know that I could call you names, too?
All right, gentlemen, would you please calm down?
Yeah, but calm down.
All right, let's get back to you, Chris. You're talking about sexual attractions and the sexual attraction that an inmate may have for a woman who is working in the prison. Now, you've never been in prison before, correct?
That is correct, yeah.
All right, so how would you do it?
Well, I don't think there's any secret. I mean, what you would do is, if you were in jail, you were in prison, and there were female workers in prison, and you have to pick one out, okay? So you pick one out, and the first thing you do is get eye contact and start to go, you would do this. You'd go, yeah, and you start rubbing the sides of your shirt all the way down the sides of your pants. You'd blow on your fingertips and just, like, rub down the side of your pants and rub down the side of your ass, you know?
What are you talking about? Do you even understand what it is you're saying?
Yeah, I think I do, Mr. Sewell, because my sexuality is well known.
I don't care about your sexuality. You know, Norton, you sound like the kind of clown that I would just as soon tickle as look at. You know that? You know, you are one wild man. And let me tell you, that you, when you're in prison...
Excuse me for a minute. Have you slept with almost 4,000 women?
I don't need to sleep with 4,000 women. I will tell you that, Mr. Henry, are we still on the air?
Go ahead.
But this is getting a little out of control.
No, I want to hear what these guys got to say.
Oh, I see. So we're at the freak show, is that it?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you're in jail, it's a lot more than just blowing on your fingertips and rubbing your ass. You've got to be.
Okay, what is it?
Having to understand when to do it, when not to do it, when to know the best time to act, when to know to back off, when you have a real mark and when you don't. Some of these women will turn you in. Some of them will turn you in, and they will twist the spit themselves. They'll go up to the spit crank themselves, and they'll say, put a little more barbecue sauce on. Yep, that's got it. And start turning as you cook. You can...
Hey, let me tell you something, Mr. Sewell.
Hey, the F-word, Phil.
Watch the F-word, will you, Herb?
What up? You know something, General?
Hey, let me tell you something. I'm not going to let you get away with anything.
Well, it takes a real pussy move to bust me on the F-word. Henry didn't hear it.
Well, I'm hearing it now, all right?
Mr. Henry, if I may.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying...
Mr. Henry, if I may, I haven't been able to say...
I'm saying it now because Mr. Henry told me that I could.
What a dick.
Mr. Henry, I'm saying that if you're inside prison, I don't think it's much different than being on the outside. Okay? And what I'm trying to say is, if a woman is hot and she wants sex and she needs it now... What I would do is, I would blow on my fingertips, I'd rub my fingers down the side of my shirt, I'd rub my fingers down the side of my pant, and then I'd rub both buttocks with just a fingertip, okay?
With just the fingertips.
Are you listening to this ass on a stick? This guy...
Can I finish, please? I would rub my fingertips with my ass, not rub with my ass. Right?
What are you going to do, take your ass off and rub your fingers with it? What a clown.
I'm saying what I would do is, I would try to attract her attention with a sex move, okay?
Sex move. A lot of these women, these big, fat, ugly, filthy sows, wouldn't know a sex move from a cow mooing. So I can tell you that you will have to do something a lot more than that. You'll have to bring something to the table, more than just you rubbing your fingers on your ass.
And what is that?
Who said that?
Me, Phil Henry. What is that?
Well, that means that when the time comes, you had better be bringing the wood. And I mean, you better be bringing the lumber. I'm Herb Sewell, and signing out. No, I'm not signing out.
All right, so that means sex.
Yeah, a little bit.
There's no doubt about that. You know, I'm just dumb saying.
If you've got to bring the sex, if you've got to bring the wood, if you've got to bring the lumber, all of that, of course, goes without saying. But I think what we're talking about here is getting the woman's attention. And if I saw some clown rubbing his fingertips on his ass, I would think that the circus was in town and the freak show cage was going by.
That is really dirty pool. I mean, that...
Well, that's what I would think.
That's the kind of thing that I think makes all of us losers, you know, when we're trying to discuss it. And it
makes all of us losers, huh? This whole conversation is just a little bizarre. All right, thank you very much, Herb Sewell and Chris Norton, as we continue to discuss here the escape of these guys. Who's got the radio on? Who's got the radio on?
I'm just listening to a newscast right now.
Could you turn that down while I'm...
Oh, I'm sorry.
So the Herb's... Would you turn that off, man, or something, please?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Goddamn, I'm sorry. I can't.
So anyway, thanks so much. Don't you dare call him back.
Yeah, that wasn't Mr. Sewell's fault. Mr. Sewell didn't have the radio up.
Yeah, well, guess what? We're not calling him back. Oh, my God. I'm going to tell you something right now, and just understand this, that the conversation that we just had with those two knuckleheads, okay, Bud, because you're the guy that booked it.
Yeah.
Never did get around to it never really got around fully to the question of how a inmate gains the affection and the trust, and eventually how an inmate gains the action of someone who is working. What are you looking at, General?
Well, I'm staring at you with my jaw open, wondering if you're ever going to get to the point.
I'm getting to the point, man. How they...
What is wrong with you, Phil? Your face is red. You're sweating like an ape.
We'll be right back. We got Tom Catton coming up next here to talk about whatever the hell it was he was going to talk about, which...
Talk about the Chinese guys.
He ain't talking about Chinese guys. He's talking about the Chinese theater on Hollywood Boulevard with Tom Catton. We'll be right back. Tom Catton's Hollywood History in a moment. Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Yeah, sure. From the El Pacifico in Southern California.
No.
I'm Margaret Gray. Well, when you said that, it makes them think
know
that...
About real niggas.
Well, that was General Shaw. I'm Margaret Gray. Let me say I'm General Shaw, because now they think that...
She don't know about love. She don't know
that was General Shaw. This is Margaret Gray.
Who is
you?
Like this. Fuck with a nigga like me. Wanna fuck with a nigga like me. That she wanna fuck. Fuck with a nigga like me. Wanna fuck with a nigga like me. Hit the club with a nigga like me. Do drugs with a nigga like me. Fall in love with a nigga like me. And never love another nigga. Never love another nigga like me.
Jesus Christ. It's time now for Tom Catton's Hollywood History.
Tom Catton's Hollywood History here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with our good friend Tom Catton from Tom Catton's Health Wagon. Tom, how are you?
Oh, Phil, I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Tom Catton's Hollywood History is brought to you by Tom Catton's Health Wagon, and the Tom Catton Health Wagon will be coming to a shopping mall or a supermarket parking lot near you.
Well, that is true, Phil, although we don't necessarily want to call it a supermarket parking lot, but I suppose that's where we are.
Well, where do you park the thing?
Well, General, we park it in a supermarket parking lot. It just sounds low rent.
But that's what you do, right?
Yes, that's what we do.
All right, I'm sorry. I mean, it's coming to...
You can say it's coming to a shopping mall near you and leave it at that, for God's...
God, it makes stupid today.
All right, look, just... Okay, Tom, sorry about that, man. So tell us about the Chinese theater in Hollywood and its history of, I guess, ornamentation and greeting people and so forth.
Well, Phil, the Chinese theater in Hollywood is known to people the world over, owned at one time by Sid Grumman as Grumman's Chinese... Grumman. I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time. Chaman's Grinies. It's not Chaman's Grinies. What's the name of the country?
China.
It's not Guyana? No, it wouldn't be Guyana.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Look at Phil, I'm doing the very best I can.
All right, it's Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Yes. Grauman's Chinese Theater at one time was obviously the talk of the world when it came to state-of-the-art movie theaters. Now, when they had the Academy Awards at Grauman's Chinese Theater, They dress the attendants, they dress the ushers, they dress the individuals that were seeing to the various glitterati, the actors and actresses, and yes, members of the public. They dress them up as Chinese eunuchs. Now, the Chinese eunuch was dressed in the traditional Chinese cap with the long robes, and they put their hands in their sleeves and would walk around like that. I'm sure you've seen them in the Charlie Chan movies and so forth. But more to the point, Phil, in contemporary times, we've come to appreciate and we've come to learn more about ancient Chinese culture. But the problem with the Chinese attendants, or those men that were dressed as Chinese attendants and Chinese eunuchs, was number one, they were not Chinese, they were Caucasians. As you know, Phil, in those days, in the 20s and 30s, very few people of color were able to make themselves, get jobs in the entertainment business. Very few of them were able to get jobs in any kind of show business fashion, in any kind of real professional fashion. So what they had to do is just let all these white guys get these jobs.
So most of these guys were Caucasians?
No, they were all Caucasians. Now, here's where the problem came in. When you would pull up there in your limousine for the Academy Awards, and this guy dressed in this China suit, or what we call a China suit.
Well, why don't you call it like the eunuch outfit, or...
Well, yeah, it was a eunuch outfit, but that's the problem. When these Caucasians, these men who represented the white power structure in America, were forced to put on the costume of eunuchs, well, what do you think happened? They got upset about it and began to get embarrassed. Finally went out on strike and said, we're not putting on any more of these clothes, we're not putting on any more of these tunics, we're not going to get dressed up like a bunch of, and I'll use the word if I can, I've got Bob Rafferty here.
What did Bob tell you?
He said I could say it.
Go ahead.
We're not going to dress up like a bunch of dickless Chinese guys, you know.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, I'm sorry, but, and so the strike was on, and these so-called, you know, dickless not dickless, but these Caucasians dressed up as dickless Chinese, you know, the eunuch, they went out on strike, and so they had no guys dressed in Chinese outfits to greet people. And so it is said, and this is anecdotal, that Sid Grauman himself, the owner of the Grauman Chinese Theater, dressed in the Chinaman, not Chinaman, excuse me.
Now, I told you about that word.
I apologize, Phil. I apologize.
All right.
Dressed in this Chinese eunuch outfit and went out and greeted the movie stars himself. But he was pointed at and laughed at because everyone knew what the outfit was. And that's what eventually got these outfits, these asinine eunuch outfits, they got them banned from the Grauman's Chinese Theater. They never had any ushers or anyone else wear them again because they looked asinine. And because of what they represented, which was basically the eunuch that served at the court of the Chinese emperor.
Now, let me ask you a question, okay?
Okay.
Suppose they were able to get a hold of actual Chinese actors, performers, ushers. In those days, suppose they allowed those guys to be employed. Would they have any problem putting Chinese Americans or Chinese guys into these so-called...
say it what it is, the dickless outfit.
Well, General, you know, I use the word dickless because that's what Bob Rafferty, who is the on-site producer, said I could use. But I know I would, let's call it a eunuch outfit.
All right, would they have any problem putting these Chinese guys into a eunuch outfit?
I don't think that they would.
Well, they, I guess they missed their chance, didn't they?
I suppose they did. I suppose they did. Okay, does that make you happy?
Well, I don't understand your attitude.
Well, your attitude is that these people at the Chinese theater should have put these Chinese guys into these dickless outfits because that would have gotten them employed. And I'm just trying to have respect for the people of the Chinese theater for not hiring Chinese.
Oh, so you agree with that kind of hiring practice?
No, I do not. But I understand it from the standpoint of the 20s. But you don't. You're applying modern-day standards. And so you're saying that the people of the Chinese theater should have hired Chinese people to get into these eunuch outfits so that the actors could pull up in their limousines and go, oh, wait, I'll have that dickless Chinese guy open my door for me. I don't think so. I don't think it would stand. I don't think you'd wear it. And
what does that mean, I wouldn't wear it? I didn't live then. I'm simply suggesting...
Margaret, you can't put yourself in two places at once. You can't be American in the modern sense and be an American in the 1920s.
You know something, Captain? We used to know you was a very calm guy.
I know, with my wheat crash.
Yeah, that's right. You had all these health food remedies. And now you're yelling and screaming about dickless Chinese. God damn.
What? I'm going to have to find out what's wrong with everybody today.
Yeah, you do that.
I don't know.
You know what? It may be the weather. It may be really humid. The fact that we got Tom on at the last minute. The fact that we were talking about prison escapees. The fact that Tom's historical episode here, which is Tom Catton's Hollywood history, apparently didn't go off as swimmingly as he wanted it to. I don't know what it was or what it could have been or how it could have been better, but I think I'm just going to bail out of this. I'm going to push the eject button on this one, man.
Oh, is that right? You know, that's why you know, somebody have the guts to take these guys on.
I'm not going
to
take that nut on. I don't know why we had that segment on in the first place.
I thought it would be interesting.
But it wasn't.
World famous Phil Henry. Let me do it.
Go ahead.
World famous Phil Henry show is produced by Mr. Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on a Podcast One.
If you would have allowed Tom to explain why the
dickless Chinese outfit,
that would not have been my choice. But why don't you call me? I've got my cell phone on.
Hello.
Now look, Margaret, I don't understand. What you want this guy Captain to come out here?
I thought it would be a good segment. All right,
I understand that. We're on the air now.
You've got to be bullshit. What? Are you there?
Yeah.
Why are we on the air?
As I was eavesdropping.
Pardon me for a minute. Don't hang up.
Oh, I won't hang up. Come in.